Good morning, Patriots. I think the sound will be better this time around. Let's see. Yes, good. Okay, so next week, a week from today, is Bardsfest, 26th to the 29th of August, which is likely to be what I anticipate to be one of the most important events in our lives, and probably one of the greatest events in our history, if not the world. And that's not going to be defined by the fact of numbers of people, though I anticipate we're going to have many, many people connected to this event, thousands there and potentially millions online. It is what this event represents. Bardsfest is a revival, and not just a revival. This is truly a revival at a critical moment in human history where we're sitting on the precipice of change on two paths, one path to darkness and one path to light. A moment right now where the only way we are ultimately going to win this fight is to humble ourselves before God and accept that this is a spiritual fight far beyond our principalities of control. Bardsfest is about humbling ourselves before God, about praying for his strength and his forgiveness for this nation and for the world, to revive our commitment to him, and in so doing, rise up as his children, as the remnant, to retake this world one step at a time. It is going to be an important event to come together, to celebrate, to worship, to have fellowship. So we want you there. Bardsfest is in St. Louis, Missouri. It's from the 26th to the 29th of August. It's at the Powerplex Drive-In, St. Louis. It's a massive indoor-outdoor facility, a state-of-the-art facility with just everything for everybody to enjoy. It is designed for people and families to come together to have fellowship and truly enjoy their time to let God move through his people. Tickets are a donation-based system. You choose your own price, and your donations are critical to continue. So if you can attend, get your tickets and come. If you can't attend, we ask that you'll donate to help support this event, to make it possible for the many that are coming, and to continue to make this a ticket you choose price event. If you can't afford a ticket, then contact us and we'll arrange to get you tickets. It's a very critical and important time for us all to come together and worship him, to bring that love of Christ into our lives. The speaker list is amazing. You can go to bardsfest.com, 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 or bardsfm.com/bardsfest. It's all right there. It's a wonderful list of speakers, a powerhouse packed 4 days that will literally transform, I believe, the world and the nation. And it's something that we've prayed on. It's not our event. It's God's event. And all we've done is steward it. And as we steward it, we pray that everybody will come to help bring that power of the remnant into the light. So on the 27th then of Bardsfest, Mike Lindell is speaking. And that's also the day we're proclaiming to be Slipper Revolution Day. So make sure you get your pair of My Slippers and the other great products that they offer. My Slippers are, we're going to encourage people to wear their My Slippers when Mike is there speaking. So bring your My Slippers. For the other products, probably want to leave your pillow, your sheets, your comforters at home, but you'll need them because they're the best things you'll ever have to sleep, stay comfy, to get the best night's sleep you've ever imagined. So go to mypillow.com or frankspeech.com. Mypillow.com or frankspeech.com and use your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. And if you feel so inclined to talk to a human being, then call the 800 number, 800-975-2939, 800-975-2939. That's what I call the Patriot Counseling number. When you call there, they're going to say, what's your promo code? And you say BARDS, and then you tell them your problem. You say to them, well, I'm so stressed, I can't sleep. And they're going to say, don't worry, Patriot. You just pick out the best sheets and the best pillows out there, get some great discounts with your BARDS promo code, and it's better than medication. You'll get that, stick it on your bed, and you'll never want to wake up again. Well, you'll kind of, but just not, you won't have a hard time sleeping. We don't want you. Now, we don't want you doing a Rumpelstiltskin and sleeping through this whole thing. We need you on the battlefield. But you'll be get a great night's sleep, and that's the good thing. All right, Patriots, this has been heavy on my heart since last night, and I'm going to share it. And I don't know the truth to this, but I should say it this way. This isn't it's any sort of prediction of what's to come, but it just strikes me as in a moment that we have to all reflect upon. We are witnessing the sheer desperation of a people. At least that's what's being portrayed in the media. Of the Taliban coming in. The Taliban are a harsh change for Afghanistan. But there's a deeper message in there that I think we have to pay attention to. And so I'm going to walk through this today, and it's not going to be easy. And there is a lot of panic going on in Afghanistan, and there is going to be a lot of pain, and there's going to be a lot of suffering. There are a couple things to start with that I want to note that are curious. The Taliban have forbidden the injection. That's right. They have forbidden the injection while our government is forcing the injection. The Taliban is also crushing down on anything LGBTQ and BLM and all that other equal nonsense. And those heavy-handed things are causing an enormous amount of panic in a society because our influence was heavy in those areas. We were heavy with the injection. We were heavy with the LGBTQ nonsense. In fact, leading up to the Taliban invasion, the pedophile Joe administration prioritized LGBTQ as one of the agendas most important for the State Department to be concerned about in Afghanistan. If we have a corrupted a society with those values, then there has to be a reset. But the sheer desperation of those people, either way, doesn't change the fact that we made a promise to them. And we backstabbed them. But here's what I want to point out. What we've been exporting around the world has not been a godly system, but it's been a system based on an inversion. We've been doing this all over the world. We have been exporting our LGBT politics. We've been exporting our rainbow flag nonsense. We've been exporting our BLM BS all over the world. And we've been using the State Department, which is taxpayer-funded, which is a cover for the CIA to do it, and ultimately to make that part of this great new open society's garbage that Soros put for us. Essentially, we've been creating societies possessed with demons. And I mean that bluntly. So there is a reset going on in the globe, and it's going to backlash to us in a big way. And the only way you're going to get through this is having a deep, solid anchor in faith. So I'm going to begin this morning by reading Mark 5, 1 to 20. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he always was crying out and cutting himself with stone. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I admire you, by God. Do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on a hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and the county, and people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described it to what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs, and they began to beg Jesus to depart from the region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he told him he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you, and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Many layers to that story that are relevant to right now. There is a shaking of a darkness around the world. And as we see, even with this issue of the Taliban, on one hand, we're seeing this swing of away from the vaccine, which is of the devil's hand. But on the other hand, you see a ramping up of child sex trafficking, as the Taliban put marks on doors and require families to give their daughters to them. This is a very ugly time in Afghanistan. And it's a time, and quite frankly, that when we look at the banning of the injection and the increase in child sex trafficking, you're seeing a future of what the New World Order wants, which is a submission to an obedient Muslim-style world and a continued and a protection of that world by limiting the impact of the injection while they continue their war and wage war against God's children in the Christian world. The problem is that we in this world, in this country, we have been the perpetrators of much of that evil. And while we as Americans aren't directly responsible for the creation of that evil, we nonetheless are part of a country where that evil has perpetuated and we have done nothing. What's been heavy on my heart since last night was the reflection of where the demons lie. As in this story, Jesus heals a man with a demon. The fact is that we in this nation are really the center of where so much of the activity of evil has originated around the world. It's a hard pill for people to swallow. We like to paint the stories of how much good we do. We want to paint the stories of how much terrorism we've erased from the world, but we haven't really done that. Instead, we've been addressing the extremist of terrorism, and then we continue on and we build something completely inverted. What began as perhaps a mission of mercy in Afghanistan to destroy the Taliban, or at least to set them back, turned out to be an occupation which in the end was driven by the primary politics of sin, a politics driven by the idea of LGBTQ and BLM and all this other nonsense that has nothing to do with Scripture or God's Word, but quite contrary, More importantly, it had to do with the interests of Baal, Moloch, and Baphomet. We are in a critical time in our world, in our time, in our life, where we have to confront that darkness, and we're going to literally have to remove and expel the evil from our nation. And to do that, we're going to feel the contortions of that. As we witness those in Afghanistan in desperation, and there are many in desperation because they were following a dream, whether true or false, at least an ideal of what the United States represented. We ourselves now are going to have to bear that burden. And what I feel and what is heavy on my heart is I anticipate that there's going to be much of that fear and that desperation will happen right here in our own land, that what we have just witnessed is only a foreshadowing of what is to come. What I do believe is that the time of the remnant has never been more pressing. And the remnant is going to have to carry that burden and have to steer this country back to its place at the foot of God. And if we fail, what we witness in Afghanistan in desperation will be a level of desperation and pain that we share in this country that will be like nothing you've ever imagined. No matter how you divide, cut, analyze, the fact of the matter is that 100 million Americans or so have taken the injection. That number could be as high as 200 million. And no matter how you cut it, once this injection is put into people, it causes a destructive force within the body. It was never intended to be good. It was always an instrument of evil. That means in the true numbers, there's going to be very real loss within our nation, combined already with a nation that's aged in population. When you start to combine those together, you're looking at real number losses in our population that can range from 40 to 100 million people in the next 2 to 3 years. A large percentage of those could actually be gone by the end of winter. It would be nice for me to say that this was some sort of science fiction movie or some sort of projection that I'm making based on erroneous facts. The fact of the matter is that this is now becoming an established and accepted reality of what this injection is doing, and yet there is still no stopping it. There is still no mass uprising. There is still no accountability. There is no moment in which the demons are removed from the body. Instead, the possessed beast is still moving along, breaking its chains and causing more destruction and pain. There comes a point when that has to stop. And whatever form it takes, whether the remnant is able to stand up and get the movement and direction of the ship going, or God's hand intervenes, there will come a point when the possessed country has to be stopped. The hardest part for most of us, I believe, is the acceptance that what we stood on, what we believe to be one of the greatest nations in history, was by action anything but. And that doesn't make me feel good saying those words. We have accomplished great things in this nation. We are a great people. But our government has been a rancid, demonic pit of evil, using the will of the people, using our sons and daughters to fight their wars, destroy other cultures, and to subdue them and submit them to the politics of darkness. And the cost in blood has been enormous. And unfortunately, that cost in blood has only empowered this dark left. Because for them, blood sacrifice is a means to an end. For us, blood sacrifice is a painful loss of God's creation. The road ahead for us is going to be one that we must face and be brutally honest with ourselves and brutally demanding on whatever form of governance we have. There may come a time that we become that one entity in a community, that we have to work together in that one community with those around us who may not believe that the country is as damaged as it is, may want to still believe in the worship of the injection put by pharmaceutical companies. But it's going to take the vigilance and persistence of each person in the remnant to stand with God and to unite with others to help steer these communities back to their humbleness before God to help heal this nation. We literally need to see the demons leave the body and infest the pigs to have them drown in the ocean. To do that will set this nation free, and to do that will allow us to then share to the world as the one man did with Christ, to tell the world what Jesus had done for him and what God has done in his life. We have to be that. And the challenge that sets before us is now we have to find the way to get the demons out of this nation. And they are everywhere. Our values are bankrupt. We live in a world where hedonism, anything goes, and no one cares. As we hear about elderly dying, people shrug. As we hear about children being injected, people shrug. As we talk about children being aborted or even after birth being aborted, no one seems to care. And even Christians, where is the ire? Where is the anger? There is none. The churches are silent. Where are the churches on this entire matter? They aren't around. And why are they silent? They are silent because they've long ago sold their soul to that possession of demonic powers. They've changed their path away from the teachings of Scripture to some sort of milquetoast nonsense that's more concerned with how they make their monthly donations than in fact accomplishing spreading the word of God. And more importantly, stewarding people with the strength and power of Christ Jesus. They are not excluded from the condemnation, that is the churches, the 501c3 church. The remnant is going to have to stand boldly. It means you're going to have to be able to stand even in your church and demand that the changes be made. And if not, you have to break and leave. We don't have time anymore to be sitting on the side or being passive. This is time now. The time is ticking, and our window of opportunity is closing. When I begin today's show, and I talk almost every day now about the importance of Bard's Fest, I'm not exaggerating. This is our one opportunity to come together that may be our last opportunity to assemble for a very long time. We don't know, and I would like to think not, and most people don't believe it's so, but look around at what's happening. The suddenness in which Afghanistan fell could happen to us. If we don't take a position and stand, the overwhelming nature of the way the left works just like that. Suddenly, the agencies that you thought you could trust turn on you. Every access you gain gets shut down. And literally overnight, the psychosis of control sweeps the nation. Look at what's happening in Australia. Police and military have united to literally subdue a nation and arrest them for breathing air. Think about that. For taking off a mask and breathing air, you are now condemned to a containment camp. We are only one step away from that happening here. It happened quickly in Australia because they didn't have any guns to protect themselves. But that is a myth that people keep holding on to here as if it's going to make a difference. At the end of the day, people's willingness to believe the lie is the problem. And it doesn't matter how many guns you have. If you believe the lie, you will subdue to yourself to the lie and begin the worship of the darkest path ever conceived. We walk in the body of Christ, and in so doing, we possess the power to bring the blood of Christ to people to help heal them through their salvation. We can't save them. They have to save themselves, but we can be that beacon of light to help them see the way. Our mission is a critical one, and it demands a great deal of strength and even militancy in its truest sense in this time. It's interesting, yesterday I read a comment on our Gab site, an accusation that what was spoken here on this channel was nothing but a confused ministry to keep people confused between love and hate. And I can understand why somebody would say something like that, especially if they were coming from some sort of New Age nonsense where they truly believe that if you sing good thoughts and hold good thoughts in your heart, that the world will become a happier place. There's also this milquetoast Christian faith that says you can sit in a pew and pray and get along with everyone and everything will be okay and we can join hands and sing Kumbaya and God will come to us and afterwards we'll all die and go to heaven and there'll be gold streets and gold buildings and we'll all eat pizza and dance around and play soccer with the kids or some nonsense like that. The reality is that life is brutal and it's been a war since we've been here. And the problem that most people have is digesting the fact that we've never been put here to be lax, to be lazy, to get easy lives. We were put here to do missions, missions for God. The question is, would we be able to discern between our mission that God called us to, or would we be trapped and willfully accept the lures of Satan? It is literally that simple. The pathways before us now have never been more clear. The wide gate and the narrow gate. And it is now up to us to decide whether we want to become demon-possessed and live in a world demon-possessed and enslaved for the rest of our life, or if we want to accept Christ and through salvation of him be set free, and then to be able to share those wonders with the world to set them free as well. On an individual basis, that's something that each one of us has to choose. And hopefully once done, you recommit to that path every single day. Don't accept the teachings that all things are guaranteed. That somehow that once you're saved, all is good and you can walk away, brush your hands off and say, good, I'm ready. I'm going to go make my millions now and walk away. That sort of false idolism, that false worship is only a destruction to hell. But the path that we now walk is one that demands a vigilance and a dedication and a perseverance that only we can bring through the power of our love of Jesus Christ. This path that sits before us is not going to get easier. It is going to get harder. And it's going to at times seem unfair. We'll all say that at one point or another, whether we like it or not. And it's not. There's nothing wrong with that. But as long as we take those moments and carry those messages to God to discuss with him, to be honest with him, and let him speak into our heart and help lift that burden, this climb will continue and we will succeed. We have to get past the ideals of what it is that will save this nation. Hollywood has inculcated so many images of what salvation of a nation looks like through our military superheroes. The superhero with arms the size of your thighs, with guns and body armor and coming in on high-speed helicopters, rappelling down to save the night. Forget all of that. Christ saved a man by standing before him. We can save a nation by engaging it. And by engaging it, it is to be bold, to step in out of the shadows, to proclaim our love and our salvation through Christ, as warriors of Christ in this world. We have to be strong, we have to let God lead us, and we have to have the willfulness of what it is to say for a time such as this. That means when you speak to people, you have the conviction knowing that no matter what you will do, you're willing to sacrifice your life for God in this world, because we are not of this world. But you will take anything it takes to persevere is what you're willing to commit. That is what those words mean when we say for a time such as this. And we don't say them lightly. That sort of resolve, that when we commit to that resolve, it is such a deep soul shift when you're willing to say it, accept it, and live it, that you literally shift the narrative by presence that speaks well beyond words. Consider what the demons met when they confronted Christ. They knew immediately that they were possessed, living within a man, and they were facing the Son of God. They responded and gave their name. My name is Legion. That was literally the words of the darkness speaking out to Christ. And they wanted to have an ability to escape. They were fearful because they knew he was there. Remember, as others may question Christ, the demons never have. And this warfare is very real at a spiritual level. Our presence, our conviction, our walk with Christ has to be that sort of strength. It's not weakness. And the problem is that in a culture that is now raging with its stupidity of LGBT politics, BLM nonsense, and trying to subjugate the world to an inverted belief system that puts changing genders on the top policy as part of a new normal, that world is demon-possessed. And the only way that we're going to shake that sort of demonic thinking, that sort of deep infestation, is for us to have such strength in the walk with our Savior that when they see us, as happens through salvation, we are remade in Him, that they don't see us, but they see the power of Jesus Christ that lives within us, and through that, the power of God Himself. We become the ambassadors of this time in the most profound way, in the most important moment in human history. And if we will resolve ourselves to that, it is a fearless walk. You can't cower to the threat and the fear. One thing I will tell you, and it's a lesson I hope that you will take to heart. I have sat with, worked with, walked with many of these people now that are calling themselves Taliban. Not necessarily the exact ones, but those type. The one thing I can tell you is that in their faith of Islam, they are unwavering in their commitment to Allah. They have no question that they will give their life for Him and His glory. And it is not even a blink of an eye. They don't waver. They don't quake. They don't attach themselves with any material nonsense. They live simply and humbly for the sole purpose of winning in His name. That's the strength of the Christian warrior that must be revived. The warriors of Christ must have that resolve once again in your heart that under no circumstances, under absolutely no threat, will you waver. You have committed yourself to Christ and the walk of Christ, and knowing that He told you that if you follow Me, you will be sacrificed. You will suffer that sacrifice. So accept it. Don't shuck away from it. And have the strength to stand before those possessed in such a way that those that the possession that sits within them seeks to escape because of the fear of what we represent. Because we are part of the body of Christ. Fearlessness is the core of this fight, of what will bring us victory. And it is a fight between good and evil. And it is an ugly fight indeed. The value sets of what people are leading with now, those in power, those that have infected our government, those that have infected the many tiers of leadership, are values based on child sex trafficking, on pedophilia, on gender transitions, on homosexual love. This is the sort of values that now lead this world, in particular, lead this nation. If that's a nation that you can live with, then go back to church every Sunday, sit in the pew, pray for help, and go about your business in a day. But if your church isn't screaming from the pulpit about that nonsense and encouraging you to take a stand, or if you're willing to accept that as just the new normal and try to lurk away and hoping that somebody will come in and save the day for you, take the injection and stay over there. And I mean what I said. Because right now what we need is a fierce, fierce remnant that will not waver and will not tolerate any of this. We need to restore this nation back to the Word of God in a most stringent sense. We have to once again live by the laws of God. And we have to restore this nation as it was intended, with God on the throne above us. This is a people's republic with a monarch that sits above us, and that monarch is God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We have too long been convinced that there's always a compromise, always something in the middle. That's not the case. That's not the way God has taught things, not the way God leads us. There is a way through him. And while it's loving and it's compassionate for one another, it's intolerant of this sort of evil and darkness that lurks in the world. This time in which we live will define the future for generations that have yet not even been conceived. And how we act, how we are, the strength in which we walk within the body of Christ and our conviction to the Holy Spirit will determine whether these generations will have a future of freedom and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, or whether they will be enslaved through a process of promises so long as they're injected and maintain their obedience to a system. We are literally sitting at that cusp, and we are going to define a future, all of us. In that sense, where we go one, literally, we go all. Not in the Q sense, but in the reality sense of with God. If we walk away from God and don't have the strength to stand with God and the strength to stand boldly in this time, in the gap, then we're going to drift away. The walk in faith, the walk with God has never been easy. We just thought it was. It has never been a bit of money in the offering plate and a quick dunk in the pool to proclaim your baptism and your acceptance of Christ. Those things, while important to a certain degree, are only the tip of what the deeper meaning is. Our true conviction to him is a willingness to walk and an acceptance that we walk a path, no matter what comes at us, no matter what's thrown at us, that we do not get lured away from that path. It's a path that has to accept the rejection of all physical things. Not that you can't have physical things in your life. I've said this so many times, I must repeat it over and over. But the willingness to be able to walk away, to not let anything in this world attach to you, because you're not of this world. You enter this world naked, you leave this world naked. The question is, how did you serve God in between? And did you do the service to Christ Jesus in such a way that will honor his walk in every breath and step that you make? That challenge, that goal that we strive to achieve is a super goal that no one will really accomplish it unless you are Christ Jesus himself. And none of us are. But at least that we set that benchmark of trying to strive for that each and every day, and we push in an unwavering way to hold, to occupy the land and to expand the kingdom, and so doing stand fearlessly in front of evil. We no longer can be intimidated by those that hold the political positions. You can't be intimidated by loud voices and those that are trying to crush you and keep you from speaking. It's time to take affirmative stances on things. Public positions, if they refuse to listen to the people, then they are not of this land. They are not of this government in which we are living under. And in this bifurcated world, our communities now have to make a decision on whether they are going to be constitutional or whether they're going to be ungodly and live within the order of satanic enslavement. That's the only path here. This is a path between literally God and Satan, good and evil, dark and light. And there's no middle ground, even though many believe there is. And in spite of the damage that's been done by the cabal, the genetics manipulation and genetic scrambling that's been happening over years, we have to get ourselves back to that path of Christ to walk there. And while we have to confront many of the damages that have been done to the people themselves, the children that have been victimized in the various ways by the injections that are given at birth, the poisons in the water, the poisons in our food, the poisons in our air. All of those things at the end of the day can only be rectified if we as a nation put ourselves back before him, humble ourselves before God, accept Christ in our heart, and in so doing, heal this land and its people. I pray that people can see it. I hope that people can see with the clarity that God has given us right at this moment. And we as a people have to embrace that if we want to save this land. God is giving us a moment right now to witness what happens in a land when you lose everything. And in a land of Afghanistan, which we had a hand in, we're seeing a form of judgment. And it's not a judgment of necessarily betterment. It's that path of Habakkuk, of having to witness what happens when your land is overrun and then live there under that rule for however long it takes, one generation, 200 generations, whatever it takes, until finally God's people wake up. Ask yourself, is that how you want this world to become? Because we are not that far away from that sort of terror that can land in our borders, where suddenly we become desperate as a people, begging for help. But who's going to come? Remember, we walked out of Afghanistan. Do you think others will race to our rescue now? The answer is no, they won't. What has just happened before us is any illusions that you think that there's another place to run to or another people to save you or just erased. This land is ours to steward and ours to steward alone. And either we steward it back to God or we lose it. And in my opinion, there will not be any salvation for that other than the salvation of pain through time. That sounds brutal and it sounds for some very anti-Christian. It is very much within the scriptures. Again, Habakkuk versus Esther. What are we willing to sacrifice to save these people? This is not a time to make jokes about the way we live, by the type of actions we take. It's a time to double down, to make your conviction to what you're willing to do. And in so doing, are you willing to stand? And to stand in such a way that no matter the cost, to stand, to restore this land, and to protect these people, even if these people are wandering. That sort of conviction by a small few, the dedication of the remnant, with God in their heart, and faith at their feet, there is no stopping that group. But it takes that few. It takes the Gideon's army, the remnant of today, to be able to make that step forward. And if we make that conviction and that commitment, we can heal this land. But the climb is tough. Only through our love of Christ can we accomplish that mission. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for these blessings that you give each and every day and the humbling moments we have to reflect very deeply on the events in the world and the consequences that we now face if we take no action. Lord, we humble ourselves before you. And we pray for the forgiveness of this nation as we pray for the forgiveness of the many damages that have occurred around the world in this country's name. Most importantly, Lord, we pray for the strength to stand up to this evil, to expel this demonic force that seems to be in control of our government, not for you to do it for us, but for us to have the strength to reclaim the prominence of your love in all levels of this nation and in this land. Let us work with you, Lord, to find the ways forward to expel this evil, to have the demons literally leave the body and to free it from its possession. To be able to stand boldly in the gap, unrelenting, fearlessly, as you tell us, to revive that strength of being a warrior in Christ. And in so doing, stand up against this evil that lurks and snarks and does its many things to try to demean and make itself seem strong, when in fact it knows very well that it must bow even before us. Lord, in these coming days, guide us and protect us. Call the many to Bard's Fest, and we pray for the blessings that you can give to this assembly, this revival in our nation, to bring as many as possible, to provide the resources necessary to make this one of the greatest revivals in human history, to use this as a moment in time, Lord, to move through this world, to revive the strength of your love and the love of Jesus Christ in so many, to give them strength again, and to show the world that we here in this country, in this republic, have once again reclaimed that prowess, that strength, that mantle, to speak boldly our love of Christ and our love of you. And in so doing, let the world know that we will not fail, that all demons will be expelled, and we will retake this land and reclaim this land in your holy name. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So, a lot of work ahead, a lot of climb ahead. It's a very simple outcome, and I hate to be this brutal, but it's true. You either live in slavery or you live in freedom. But if you aren't willing to sacrifice everything for freedom and liberty, you will be in slavery. The one thing about the patriots of old is they didn't ask to be part of this fight, but they finally awoke to the reality that if they did not stand and stand in the gap, that there was no future for them regardless. In the colonial days, it isn't like people rallied together and looked for a fight with the British. That was the last thing they wanted. The British were everywhere. But in the end of the day, enough, a 3% in fact, understood that if they didn't take the stand and be willing to sacrifice everything, that what would happen would be 10 times worse than the sacrifice that they were willing to make. Some things, as was said, are worse than death. We are living in such a time as that, that some things, the consequences of letting evil win, are worse than death. Fear nothing. Stand up and be bold. Make the commitment through our Savior Jesus Christ and our Lord to be ready now to move into this world, to reclaim this land in his name. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into this fight. This is a glorious time to be alive. This is a glorious time to stand with God. God is with us. He will never forsake us. And through us, God will win. And we will see that day. But it will take everything you have to get there. Again, the remnant is being called. I'll see you this evening for Bards FM. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, and out for now.
And embers fly wherever we were going. Fire and ice, we built our lives on survival. Rising in the shadows.